white speech convention.
Fuck yeah.
Do not throw this number unless you wrote it for Trump. God damn it.
Shut up. I want you to be happy. Fuck you. Shut up.
Actually, I'm not a Trump supporter.
Shut up.
Obama ruined this fucking country.
Shut up.
Stop breaking my fucking ball.
Shut up.
Hey, what happened?
I don't know who the fuck this is. Why don't you come to my address and say something, motherfucker?
Shut up.
Stop breaking my fucking ball,
fucker. Shut up.
Hey, what happened?
My wife is in danger now.
Hey, what happened?
Fucker.
Hey, what happened?
Fucker. Following me. That's what happened.
Shut up.
Fuck. I don't know who you are, man. Who is this?
Why would you believe any of this?
Shut up.
I've been asleep.
Shut up.
9:30.
Shut up.
Well, ma'am, the gentleman, he's
the gentleman? Who is the fucking gentleman?
Well, ma'am, please bring it down a notch.
Don't forget, you gotta get your green card from me, fuck.
Shut up.
Alright?
What can happen?
What the fuck? Who the fuck are you, man?
Shut up.
What kind of car are you looking for, dummy?
Dodge Neon. Green. Soft, bitch.
We ain't got no damn Dodge Neon here, man.
What happened?
Don't you ever call here again, man. You understand me, bitch?
I'll fuck your mother. What happened?
I'll fucking kill your ass, bitch. You understand me? Don't you call this motherfucker again, man. Bring your punk ass over here, man. Talking that shit. Talking that shit. Bring your ass over here. 320.
Shut up.
What happened?
I give you the address, punk. Bring your punk ass over here, man.
Shut up.
Bring your punk ass over here, man. Bring your punk ass here, nigga. Bring your punk ass here. Please. So I can beat the shit out of you, and then buy me some lunch and drink off of you, bitch.
What happened?
Bring your bitch ass here.
What happened?
Bring your bitch ass here, man. I don't know what happened. Bring your bitch ass here.
I just Google Earth at the trailer.
Bring your bitch ass here, man.
Are you in the trailer?
Shut the fuck up.
Shut up.
Don't call me anymore.
Shut up.
You should put the fuck on your pants to get pleasure from me calling.
Fuck you.
Shut up.
What happened?
It's a green car, sir.
It's a green car. Are you ignorant, man?
I don't know what a green car. You gotta tell me what kind of car you talking about, man.
Green car. The color is green, man.
Yeah, dummy. I know the color is green. What kind of car, dummy?
Shut up.
Don't call here no more, man. Don't call here no more, man.
Shut up.
Don't call here no more. Don't call here no more, man. All right?
Yeah, what do you want?
Call.
Hey, what happened?
Fuck you.
No, fuck you, motherfucker, you piece of fucking shit.
Shut up.
Don't ever call me again, you goddamn cunt.
Shut up.
Fuck you.
You don't call me
fuck
a cunt.
Fuck you.
Shut up.
Don't ever call me again, you piece of fucking shit.
Shut up.
You eat your mother's asshole with that mouth?
Oh, I will.
Not allowed to swear on this line, sir.
You motherfucker, dick. Cunt,
fucking
piece of shit. Shut up. I love this country.
Shut up.
I do love this country.
Shut up.
I love this country.
Shut up. I do love this
country. Shut up.
Shut up. 98.6 ML.
Hi, I'm Dwight. I'm here. I do shows and calls. That's probably why you're here. If not, I don't know why. We're gonna do calls, so we're gonna make the show go. All right, give me a moment. I'm gonna bring up the Skype. We'll have a conversation with them. Okay, hang on, I gotta find the button. Alright, here we go. Alright, there's where I gotta click, right there. Alright, hi Skype, hi, how are you? We're gonna have a calm show today. There's gonna be no yelling, we're gonna be very mellow. We're all gonna drink tea. We're gonna be calm, we're gonna be collected.
Shut the fuck up.
I'm just gonna say, we're not gonna cuss at nobody.
White machine.
Hi, alright. Okay. All right, now that's taken care of. We're gonna do this shit. God damn it! Do the fucking show.
Get out of your mouth.
All right, yeah. Tighten your seatbelts and your vagina wigs, because it's gonna be 3 hours of just straight bullshit. We're just gonna do it like we do every goddamn week. Gardner Earth guy, one or two laughs is about all you're guaranteed here. And then the other 2 hours and 55 minutes is just going to be phones ringing and me getting owned by the person I call. They're just going to own the fuck out of me.
Toilet gravy and sheets in the toilet hole. Expect many plunges.
The toilet hole. You got the toilet hole. Should we start with the celebrities tonight? Or because I waited until the second hour last week. Start with the celebrities tonight and then we'll move on to the other bullshit. Okay, well, I'm getting people are like, yeah, start with that. All right. Do I need to bring up, like, pictures so we got recap, like, so people recognize who these are? Should I go to that screen? And then that way people can see who the fuck we're talking about. Okay, let's do that. All right, let's pull up.
Consider time zone. It would be good to go with those guys first. 7 out here, 10 back there. I would say roll over.
All right, here, hang on just a second. Let me move this up here. Oh, hey, is that Tone?
I'm sorry?
Is this Tone?
No. No.
Oh, I know it's not by the voice. How are you going to go in and pretend you're Tone Loke?
How can I help you?
Well, I was calling to talk to Tone about a business opportunity, but you're over there impersonating him. That's the word I was looking for.
I got you. Well, good luck. It's a funky Cole Medina.
Oh, it's not the first time you've been called, huh? You know about him?
Yeah. I grew up in the 80s.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite song of his?
Wild Thing. Come on, man.
Wild Thing. There you go. Right. The whole line about how that girl got paid $50 to do the Wild Thing. Yeah, that's inspirational. That's right. Yeah.
Hey, look. There's no support. Huh? All right. Thank you, man. Good luck finding him. All right.
Have a good one.
All right.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
The guy, Sergeant Slaughter from WWE Wrestling. Might have his. He's at a convention currently as well. I think he's a little old to be traveling like that, going to conventions and whatnot.
Hello.
Hey, is that Robert?
Yep. Hello. This is he.
Hey, Robert. How's it going, bud?
Good.
Good, good. I just had a quick question because I'm having quite an argument on a online forum right now. Could you explain to me why you agreed to be a bad guy working for the Iron Sheik during the Gulf War?
Working for the Iron Sheik?
Yeah, during the Gulf War. You agreed to be a bad guy and work for the Iron Sheik during the Gulf War, and we were just wondering how that came about. A lot of people are just telling me you're anti-American, and I don't believe that.
I was. I was the Iraqi sympathizer. WWE decided that was my calling. So that was the character that they decided to put me into when I came off of the G.I. Joe series.
Right. Oh, G.I. Joe. I forgot about that. It was a fantastic series. Was that something you were into, though, or was that kind of forced upon you, or were you, like, eager to do that? Or?
Well, it kind of flabbergasted me because I thought I was being brought over in the meeting with Mr. McMahon that I was going to be fed into the WWF at that time as the real, 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 real American hero.
Right.
Unlike anybody else could do. And so it taught me what we call the element of surprise. And I didn't know what I was doing. So I just went over to hear his pitch. And he said, he took me into his library sitting area and showed me a thing of the, L.A. Coliseum. It was a layout of it. Mm-hmm. He had big screen TVs all around. And he said, I got it made for 104,000 fans. And I want you and Hulk Hogan to sell it out. And I said, oh, really? Okay. How are you going to make Hulk Hogan the villain? And he goes, Hulk Hogan? No. I want you to be the hero. I said, Vince, I'm Sergeant Slaughter, the real, real American hero here, you know. He goes, yeah, I know. I think that'd even put more gas on the fire.
Right. Said, right.
Really? Okay.
Now, well, is that one of the biggest venues that you were involved in?
Well, yeah. I was away from WWF for 6 years because of some problems we had there because Hasbro came calling and Vince had another toy company. So a conflict of interest, it was either I go to G.I. Joe or stay with WWF.
I see.
So I finally, I didn't know what to do. I fought and fought and tried to talk my way into getting both, you know, commodities on Vince's television. And plus the cartoon, I knew the cartoon was going to be made. But he said, that's great, great of you to bring it to me and work hard to, you know, do an entity outside of the business. But he said, I can't let you do it because I already signed with LJN Toys, and they're our toy company now. And that'd be a conflict of interest, so I can't let you do it. And I said, wait, what do you mean talking about? You can't let me do it. And so he said, no, I can't let you do it. So he figured that I was in with him. So one night I just got home and I was a little frustrated. My wife said, what's wrong with you? Not eating. I said, well, you know, Vince wants me to help out, you know, going to WrestleMania here. And Hasbro wants me to be the first living G.I. Joe character in its history. She said, yeah, well, what's the problem? I said, well, I don't know which way to go. She said, well, it's pretty simple. I said, it is? She goes, yeah, you can always be a professional wrestler. You can't always be the first living G.I. Joe. I said, that's why you get the big bucks, honey. And so I called Vince the next day and said, I'm heading to G.I. Joe. And, of course, that caused all more types of problems. But
all these people today, they're always talking about, oh, multiple revenue streams. You sound like you were the originator of it. To me, yeah. It's like, hey, I don't want one. I want both.
Yeah. I said, why can't we do both? You know, and so anyway, on the show, you know, I picked, which I'm glad I did because it probably helped me gain the other vote, but was Eddie and the Cruisers. But, you know, I made an album myself, which I felt was very underrated.
Oh,
the Sergeant Slaughter and Camouflage. You ever hear of it?
It rings a bell. I probably haven't heard of it. I mean, in probably quite some time, actually.
Yeah. I was going to bring it up during that segment, but I said, no, it's, we've been going long enough here. And Nick keeps interrupting my stories. And so I better just not bring it up. So, but yeah, at one time, it came down to where the guy, I started music in professional wrestling, basically, because when I came in for a tryout with Mr. McMahon Sr., he said, I want to see your character, and you go do a promo with my son. I said, which one is he? He goes, the one that thinks he's Don Juan over there. He said, you know, he spends $300 on a haircut. I said, he does? Yeah. I said, okay. He said, well, we're all done right before the dark match. Before anybody gets out of here, we have a dark match for the state. I want you to go do a promo with him. Show me your character, Sergeant Slaughter. This is in 1973. Right. And so I said, okay. And so he says, is there anything I can help set up your introduction? Harris Island, South Carolina, you know, former drill instructor. And I gave him the whole deal. And he said, that's it? And I said, well, there's one other thing. What is it? I reached in my bag. I gave him a cassette tape, and it was a Marine Corps hymn. I said, could you play this by any chance? And he said, well, what is it? I said, it's music. He said, what music is it? I said, it's a Marine Corps. And he said, you want me to play that before you go out? I said, yeah. I just thought, since nobody knows me, you know, might help a little bit. And I am doing a tryout here. And so he goes, well, I'll be right back. So he leaves and comes back. The gentleman he was, he said, yeah, they're going to cue it up. As soon as you hear it, you go. I said, okay. So I got my campaign cover on and my fatigues and my combat boots on. I had my swagger stick and my glasses, and I had a cigar all lit up. And he said, okay. And I started playing the Marine Corps hymn. Well, nobody'd ever heard. People were like, what the hell? So I go to walk out. Vince's father stands in my way. And he's holding his hand up in the air. And he used to have four quarters. He'd dangle in his hands. And I saw these quarters up in the air. And he stopped dangling. He was got me to stop walking. What he was doing was listening to the reaction of the people. Something new. Something they'd never heard before. So he gets behind me, shoves me through the curtain, and out I go. Blow my whistle, and people are like, what the hell is this? And the Marine Corps hymn is playing, and I'm calling the maggots, telling them to stand up and salute me, and pukes and slimes and whatever. And I turn the corner, and there's, Mr. McMahon, Vincent Kennedy McMahon, standing there, the promo, and talked to me. And they were just going to do it. They didn't tape it, or I don't even think it's ever been even taped. But so he starts out with, well, what do we have here? And I said, shut your hole, puke. And he stopped, because I'd never met him. He didn't know me. And he stopped, and I said, who gave you permission to speak? He goes, well, I said, who gave you permission? Man, I was right in his face, and everybody that knows me, I slobber all over everybody. Because I don't have any way to stop it because of my bike. But when I yell and scream, that's flying through the air. So I walk around him. I give him some orders, and he's loving it. Get that chest out and that chin up, and he's got it up there. And finally, I start taking my swagger stick, and I start ruffling up his hair, by his ear. And he didn't like that. He started putting his shoulder up, like kind of mimicking to me that, don't do that. Don't do that. I don't like that. And I didn't know what was going on. So finally I stopped, and he gave me this foul look. And I went right into his ear, and I said, and by the way, who cut your hair? Ray Charles? he almost started to laugh. And he started laughing and snarling at the same time. And I gave him a few more orders. And as I went to leave, I heard him say, well, that's him, Sergeant Slaughter. Maybe we'll be seeing more of him. And I thought, well, I might as well put the icing on the cake. So I took my cigar, took a big puff. I turned around, walked up to him, and I blew it in his face. And I didn't know that he didn't like smoke. He's very adamant. If you're even in the parking lot where he works and you're smoking a cigarette, you're fired. that's right. It. And so I had no idea. So I blow this big puff of smoke in his face, and he starts turning colors. And I walk off, and I get in the locker room, and a few guys that were still there that weren't in the dark match, they're all kind of laughing, like, that poor guy, he got fired before he got started. And it says, nobody knew who Sergeant Slaughter was. And so I've taken off my combat boots, and pretty soon I see these loafers walking around my chair, and I hear the quarters jingling. And finally I look up, and there's Vince McMahon Sr. looking down at me with the quarters going. And I looked up at him, and he just shook his head no. Just shook his head, gave me the fingers to follow me. So I put one combat boot under one arm, and I'm hopping on the other one. And we go into this back room, and he walking around me some more with his quarters going. Finally stops right in front of me. And he said, and he just looked at me really evil. And he stopped with the quarters, and he pointed right in my face. And he said, that's the greatest villain I've ever seen in this business. He said, my son hates you right now. And I said, I'm sorry, Mr. McMahon. I said, no, don't be sorry. Don't ever be sorry. He said, I want you to start tomorrow. He said, you're a talent that I've never seen before. You know, he just put me over. And so that's how music got started, because people started to wrestlers started to bring their own music in. They saw, hey, shit, this is nice. People get pop before you come out. You know how the words are.
Right. I actually saw baseball players have started doing that now. Like when they walk up to the plate, they have their own music and stuff. Yeah. I mean, just for the little 30 foot stroll from the dugout up to the plate, you know, they got their own personalized music playing. And
oh yeah, they're like everybody else. They all want to be professional wrestlers. I don't care who you talk to, actors, ball players, athletes, men, women. It's just incredible how many people come up to me at an event and say, you're my man. I got to get a picture with you. I put them in a Cobra clutch. And that's what that coin was about. If you get in the Cobra clutch, you become a member of the Sergeant Slaughter Cobra Clutch Club, and you get a challenge coin. That's an honor, And so it just started escalating, and now pretty soon, Hulk's got Sylvester Stallone's music from Rocky playing when he goes out. And here comes the letter. Hey, guess what? You can't use our music without paying us. You can't. And so Vince said, oh, geez, I'm not going to do all that, because they had to pay for like the first seven notes or they got the first seven notes, then you had to pay for it after that. I forget what the situation was.
Right.
So I'm going, well, I guess they're going to take the Marine Corps hymn away from me, unless that's a national song that can't be tampered with. Kind of like Happy Birthday until Michael Jackson bought it. And I think McCarthy's got it now. But I said, maybe I should write my own entrance music. So I thought, pretty good at rhyming and stuff. So I wrote the song, The Cobra Clutch. And so I got a band of... And a guy that had a little band, and I said, maybe we should do a couple more songs. So we made an album. It's called Sergeant Slaughter and Camouflage Rocks America. And so got to where we did a couple of gigs. The guy said, I said, I can't sing. He goes, yeah, you can. We'll have the mic down low, and we'll be playing nice and loud. They won't even hear you. So you go ahead and sing. Because you're Sergeant Slug. You can't do anything wrong. This is when I was the hero, So, okay. So I did a couple. I got the taste for it. So everybody said, well, you need to go get your record produced by somebody. So my attorney finds out somebody in New York City, a very famous music producer in New York City, a black man. And I'll get his name because it's on my album. he meets with us, and this guy's huge, as far as I know. Mm-hmm. So I start telling him my idea. We play him a couple songs. He stops. He goes, that's very unique. And with all the patriotism and stuff that's going on in the country, this might work out pretty good. He said, you mind if I, do a little work with it? I said, you're welcome to do whatever you want with it. And he said, I think I'd like to put you with a group called, what was their name? Autograph. He said, I want to put you with a group called Autograph. Every one of them have a different color hair, a different color outfit. And you would fit in like a sore thumb, but you've got so many people that love you that they're just come to see you. And you have to sing a couple of songs. That's all you got to do. said, well, I'm not really sure if I want to be on the stage rocking with these guys. I mean, these guys are professionals. It'd be like them getting in the ring with me. He said, no, they'll love it. They'll love it. So I finally got cold feet and I into it. So I had this album and Jim Kerr in New York City loved it. And I used to be on a show all the time because I lived in Connecticut. And we went on a cruise around New York City promoting it in all, like 2 weeks on the New York radio station there. And man, we had a hell of a turnout. We filmed it. And it was quite, whole complete thing from being into a square circle where you're getting hit over the head with a chair. And people are,
Let me ask you about that. Do those chair shots actually hurt?
Oh, yeah, they do. Back when we hit them, when we hit each other, I mean, God knows how many guys that have concussions don't even know it. They're going to find out. But finally, I went up to Vince. We were doing that hardcore type wrestling, anything goes. And guys like Bob Holly were hitting people as hard as they could with those metal chairs in the head. And I went to Vince and I said, Vince, one of these nights, not just on television, be horrible on television, but in an arena, that chair gets turned sideways or, they're not, every arena doesn't have the same chairs and, this. And I, somebody gets killed.
These weren't company supplied like prop chairs, like meant not to hurt. Like you were using arena chairs.
Oh yeah.
Oh
yeah. Unless you did a really good job on somebody one night, you take it with you for television and put it around your neck or somebody and go, this is what I did to you the last time. Remember, the next time's gonna even be worse. So. But that's the only time you'd, but it was just, all-out war.
Was there ever a time you had to, like, maybe someone messed up on a move? Like, you ever pay someone back, like, in the ring? You didn't even think about it, but you're like, hey, this is the time to get some payback type thing?
Probably every night.
Oh, almost every night. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we weren't holding back. No, back when I got into the business, there was no scripts. There was, you were trying to be the top guy because you got the biggest payoff, And if you were like in the territory, you wanted it to sell out too because then you got more money. You just, you were all brothers and sisters. You were all trying to make a living. I mean, sometimes you get done wrestling somewhere and go to a local bar and there's a pool table and all of a sudden, hey, there's Roddy Piper over there and Jimmy Snuka. Let's go have some fun.
Oh, you ever get into like any big bar brawls or anything?
Oh, yeah. That's how we made money. We'd get ourselves arrested and hauled to jail and we'd be on the front page.
There's no such thing as bad publicity. I understand that.
No, any publicity is good publicity, I was taught. I had some good teachers on my way up, from Eric Froelich and Gene Kaniski and Vern Gagne, down to Harley Race. I wouldn't be talking to you on the phone right now if it wasn't for Harley Race. She taught me pretty much everything I learned in this business that I didn't, find out myself. And Pat Patterson, I mean, what a genius in this industry. I mean, it was just spot on. No matter what he was like the golden goose. Whatever he came up with turned to gold. I mean, and I got the chance to be in the ring with him. I watched him as a kid, and then I watched him in the AWA when I first started and had to wear the mask, and Lord Alfred Hayes and I, and Super Destroyer Mark II. So we were flying around on Burns' 8-passenger plane. And we finally stopped. And it was like a brotherhood. And we're waiting to get our luggage out from under the plane. And here comes this beautiful Lincoln, the four-door, the big baby, you know, back in those days. And stops, and trunk goes open. Driver gets out, takes Pat's bag, Pat Patterson's bag, throws them in the trunk. Gets in the driver's place, and Pat gets in the front seat, and off they go. And I said to Lord Alfred Hayes, I said, that's what I want to be. And he goes, what? What, Matthew? My nickname was Matthew. Long story. But anyway, and so he said, what, Matthew? What do you want to be? I said, I want to be that guy, Pat Patterson. Why? Why do you want to be that? I said, because I want a chauffeured car to take me from the airport to my house. He goes, no. That's not his chauffeur. Yeah, no. That's his friend. His friend. That's their car. So, oh, okay. And his name was Louis Dendero. And it wasn't long. We're all out in the golf course playing golf and, you know, doing barbecues, because in Minnesota, you didn't rest but maybe 13, 14 times a month. And so you're off a lot. So you had time to go play golf with the guys. And it was just a fun time. You go to baseball, the Twins games and the Viking games and the hockey games. You were treated like gold. It was just the perfect place to work. And so it's one of those things. I need to write a book about it. But
I was just going to say that. I'd say you definitely need to put pen to paper on this.
Yeah. Vince McMahon came to catering one time when he used to come out and still be friendly and wasn't so busy. We'd sit at the tables, and pretty soon we're going around the table telling stories. He got the biggest kick out of my stories, and he says, Sarge, you need to write a book. And I said, write a book? Vince, it had to be an encyclopedia. and he goes, that's not a bad idea. And 6 months later, WWF had a damn encyclopedia out, and I still hadn't written the book. And I think there's 7 or 8 of them that have been published. I just gave him an idea, and he just started thinking about it, and he went, hey, encyclopedia, it's not a bad idea.
So, I mean, would you say that, like, he owed you a little bit of money on that? I mean, it kind of sounds like he stole your idea, man.
Well, at that time, everybody had left already, so it was just between him and I.
All right.
But I got stories about his father make you cry. I mean, I spoke to him about 2 days before he passed on a payphone in New Haven Coliseum. What's his name? He was Ernie Scholin was, you know, his sidekick, his main man. And so we used to be able to park indoors in New Haven Coliseum. And so I went to go get something out of my car, and Arnie's on the payphone. He said, sir, come here. Yeah, somebody wants to talk to you. I said, okay. Hello? Yes? It's Vince? Yes. Yeah. He's dying, you know. I'm talking to him while he's dying, you know?
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, are you okay? You know, what did you say? I'm looking at Artie. I'm going, what did you do this? Why did you put him? He loves you. I told him you walked by, and he said, put him on the phone. I said, oh, thank you. I'm glad you did, because... And the last words to me were, Sergeant, you're the best worker and villain I ever saw in this business. I'm sorry, I don't mean to be talking like him. but I said, oh, thank you, Mr. McMahon. And he said, as long as there's a McMahon in the WWF, you always have a job. And I said, oh, thank you very much. Thank you. Yep. Well, you know, 2 days later, we already passed, and nobody heard that but him and I.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, that's one of those things. And the way it is right now, they're not in head of the company either. You know, they only own 49% as far as I know.
Oh, after the they just had that sale, didn't they?
The merger, yeah.
Yeah,
merger.
Yep. I mean, they're still
poor
being, they're just
49% for $80 billion.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Man, you still get to run the show, right?
Yeah. I mean, at least you still got some type of control over the way that things are going. Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. You can have the 49%, but I want control. Right. You're not going to kill what I do.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay, I thought I heard. I don't know. I thought I heard something. Oh, you know what? It was somebody in the room. Hey guys,
you know who it was?
Who was it?
It was Vince. I think it was Vince McMahon, Senior, talking to us.
Oh, coming right through the terrestrial lines here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I have this thing with guardian angels. You know, I have a believer in those things.
Right.
And, things were, happening a little too often. And I finally said, I got to look into this, you know, because I would see 911. And whether it was on a clock or a license plate or, the three letters together, 911. And of course, 911 is, the horrible thing that happened, in New York.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And so I'm thinking, well, somebody, I don't know why this happened. So I talked to my daughter, my oldest daughter. She's into that type of thing. And she said, Dad, that's a sign that you have guardian angels. And they're telling you that whatever you want to do, do it. Go do it. Because don't hold back. Go. That's just telling me. Well, I'm going about as fast as I want to go right now. I'm 75 years old, okay?
Right.
And I'm enjoying what I'm doing. When I go to shows and do what I do, it puts a smile on my heart. People come up and they tell you how much they love you. And kids come up and hug you. And they shouldn't even know who you are. I mean, it's just incredible. But that's what.
Right. Yeah, it's nice to. There it is.
So 911 is that sign, and I see it all the time. Not all the time, but at certain times I don't look for it. It just, So I'm with my two oldest granddaughters at a dancing thing up in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. And so we're sitting at the table and I'm talking about it. And, we're having some snacks and playing some games. And my daughter, oldest daughter, and my wife go out to go probably have a cigarette or, get some air. And so I'm sitting there with my two granddaughters. And I started to tell them a story about something. And I said, I'll grab my phone. Where's my phone? I couldn't find my phone. And so finally, I said, oh, the pictures are on my phone right here. I pushed my phone and it lit up and it was 911. And I shouted out loud and my two granddaughters went, what? What, Grandpa? What? I said, look at my phone. And they both went, 911. You just talked about it. I said, why did? I didn't even know where my phone was. So there's no way I set an alarm or anything like that. And they went, that is incredible. So it happens. And so
I have a friend. He follows like the three four three and combinations like that. Like he sees that constantly in his everyday life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not just one number either. You know, 9/11 happens to come up more for me, but I see like 5/11, 4/11, you know, combination of numbers 333, and luckily none of them been 666 yet, but.
I know a guy that sees that quite a bit. He goes by Matt Hillick. He definitely sees that quite a bit. And I told him he needs to be careful. I was like, guy, you don't want to be, you know,
take it for granted.
Right.
Yeah. It should be, you know, who knows? I have been having a good time. I mean, I just.
Did you have any objections when they Lacey Evans use your finishing move?
Did I have any objections?
Yeah. Did you give the blessing, or was it just kind of something they had?
Well, the way it was done, I didn't think that was so, you know, professional.
Right.
Because we had talked about maybe doing something, and you know, when the figures came out. What they offered me, I said, you want me to take a cut and pay to come back, and you're going to own me for the rest of my life? I mean, she's going to be there for maybe a year or two, but then what are you going to do with me after that? You know,
right. Kind of stole your thunder a little bit there.
Yeah. I said, if you want to, you know, for all I've done for this company and you, that's what you're offering me. And, you know, anyway, I just didn't appreciate it. Thought it was a slap in the face. I guess it still stems back from, you know, when I walked out and went to G.I. Joe. I don't know. Who knows? You know, whoever knows what's going on in behind closed doors. You know, you don't know. But,
I think what you need to do is have the G.I. Joe
on the phone here.
No, I mean, it's fantastic. That? What you need to do is have the G.I. Joe figure, give the WWE figure a little Cobra hold. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
There you go. Well, that's how the first LJN Sergeant Slaughter was created. When I left, Vince, you know, he showed me all the protocols or whatever they call them, the prototypes.
Mm-hmm.
Prototypes, and one of them was me, and I said, oh yeah, so what do we get out of that? And he goes, oh, don't worry about it, pal, take care of you. I said, what's take care of me? Don't worry, I'll take care of you. We're gonna take care of you. I said, could you put that in dollars and cents?
Right. Like how much am I actually looking to make off, you know, out of this? Like, yeah, I'll take care of you. That's not quite the same as what being on paper here.
Right. So anyway, when I left, I heard, I'm not sure what happened to them, but the ones that they had already ordered for me, that's what the big problem was, is he didn't realize that he didn't own Sergeant Slaughter. I did. And he had already went ahead and ordered, you know, like 3 million of them or something. I don't know how many they would start out, maybe 100, maybe 1,000, 2,000. I don't know how many they would start. This was the first time they ever tried it, you know. And so when I went to Hasbro and I told them the story that this, I think, destroyed mine, or this is going to sell them, whatever, they said, oh, is that right? Well, we'll see about that. Mm-hmm. So they saw what they built and got a hold of whoever, I guess it was LJN. I don't know who they ended up going to, but they got a action figure of Sergeant Slaughter that fit into their game. But I was even just a little bit bigger than all the other action figures of the WWF. And they put promos out with me standing in the ring on the Hulk's throat and Nikolai's head and Iron Sheik laying down and Hillbilly Jim up, tangled up in the ropes. And there I am standing, you know, tall. The war was on. And so it was tough times. So who knows? You know, bringing me back after, you know, G.I. Joe, maybe there was some intent to destroy the character. I don't know. But
why do you think they would do that?
Well, revenge.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm sure it cost them a few dollars by not having me at WrestleMania 1.
Right.
You know, I was pretty damn hot. You know, it was, and I'm sure I heard rumors that from some pretty good sources that are unfortunately passed on that Hogan and I were supposed to take on Piper and Orndorff with Bob Orton in their corner. And who knows what it would have ended up being, because, you know, I ended up leaving and they brought Mr. T. So it might have even been better having that happen than me leaving. So,
right.
Or me staying. So, and you just don't know what's going to happen. You know, can't live with those. You have to make a decision and live with it. So I made that decision to go. You know, that's where I went. Yeah, there was a lot of, you know, setbacks and sidesteps and hurdles. But I, you know,
did you ever wrestle Antonio Inoki?
Yeah, I did. I did over in Japan. Yeah, he loved working with me. I think he actually had the Funks bring me over special just for him to try out and work with. So, yeah, he was a master at his craft. I mean, he knew what the greatest talent in the world, but he knew his character. And he knew what the fans, you know, thought of him. And he made himself a god, you know, that he couldn't do any wrong. No matter what happened, he, you know, especially over there, they're heroes. They forgive them, you know, to the dying breath of air, that they're the heroes, no matter how many mistakes they made. But it's a whole different world. But he was really fun to work with. Yeah.
What did you think of Dave Metzler?
Dave Metzler?
Metzler.
You know, I never really knew Dave too much. You know, I always respected him that he told it like he thought it was. You know, it's different telling like you thought it was than what you saw it was.
Right. I know what I was going to ask you.
Like the guy says, I can live on yeses and I can live on no's, but babies, that ain't going to make me any money.
No. And I was going to ask you, like, if you had, you know, we got Mount Rushmore and stuff. Who are your, like, your four wrestlers on Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
Oh, God. Is this a promo?
No, I wish.
Am I getting paid for this?
Maybe. Geez.
That's Harley Race, number one. Harley Race. And I'd have to say, Wow. Jack Briscoe. He taught me a lot my first territory up in Vancouver, Canada. Yeah, Jack Briscoe. Did you ever hear that story?
No, no. You got a story?
Jack Briscoe. Oh,
yeah, you got a story?
Yeah, I do.
Oh.
I do. I had just graduated from Vern Gagne's training camp and Billy Robinson. And up to Vancouver, I decided to go because Vern told me there's two places. You graduated. You graduated. The rest didn't make it. So I can get you booked. He said, this guy here and this guy there. And he's pointed to me and he said, you can go to Vancouver, Canada, or you can go to Charlotte, North Carolina. I think you would fit in beautifully with both and you'll learn a lot. And I said, well, who's in Charlotte?
oh, yeah, this guy, that guy. And who's in Vancouver, Ken? This guy and that guy. And, well, I don't know as many guys in Vancouver, so I'm heading that way. Because I'm not ready yet. I'm, you know, I'm still beautiful Bobby Remus at this point. I, you know, I hadn't even gotten the character yet. I mean, I was just myself and heading off to Vancouver, Canada. So I had to think of a character. So I grew my hair out, had it blonded, and went as beautiful Bobby Remus. You know, that was my character. So anyway, so I get shipped out, and my dad and I go out in one of the roofing trucks, and he gets homesick, and because they, number one, they put me in this flea bag hotel, and it was just a horrible place. And my dad's like looking around, like, you sure you want to stay here? You know, this is your, yeah, this is where they said, this is the address. And so, more than a day later, he said, I think, yeah, I am going to head back home. You mind driving me up to, down to Seattle, get a flight? And, yeah, back then you could go right up to the gate, you know, and just your family goodbye as they shut the door. And then you watch through the windows, the plane pulled out. But anyway, so off he goes, and there I am all by myself. You know, okay. Well, here we go. So I go back, and I spend, you know, like 10 days in this place. And I hadn't, didn't have to be there for another 3 days. But every day, their shows were on Monday nights. And so every time I'd go down to this little bar, I got to know the little bartender. And she was a cute little redhead. And she was very, very nice. And we got to know each other. And she started saying, why are you here? And I, and she was puzzled, look at me, why are you here? And I said, well, I'm a professional wrestler. She said, oh, you are? Yeah. And, you know, I told her the whole story. You know, that this is where they sent me. And Monday night, I've got a, and every time I look at the paper, I'm trying to see if there's an ad I want to see if I'm advertised. She said, oh, well, I'll start, you know, looking myself. So later on, I go to walk out to get something to eat. And she goes, Bob, come here. She said, I just got the paper and there's an ad about the wrestling. I said, oh, it is? Oh, yeah. So I look at it. It's got the Vancouver Coliseum. The thing's not more than maybe an inch by an inch, maybe 2 inches by 2 inches. You can't even read it. And it tells who's on the card, and I don't see my name. I went, oh, no. And then I looked again, and plus another match. That's me. Plus one other match. And so I said, do you have a scissors? She goes, yeah. I cut it out. I said, you mind if I cut this out? No, yeah. And so I got some tape and an envelope and stamp, and I sent it to my father. I circled plus one other match, and I wrote a little note, and I said, I made it, Dad. I made it. I'm a professional wrestler. I plus one other match. So I go to the Coliseum, and I'm there like 3 hours early. I don't want to be late. And I've been there, you know, 100 times already to make sure I wouldn't get lost. And so I go in, and I see this handsome man sitting on the bench, all tan.
Oh, yeah.
Beautiful. A sports coat on, oh, yeah. Smoking a cigarette, right, reading a book. And he sees me, and he drops a cigarette, and he picks a cigarette out. He walks over to me, and he says, I'm Jack Briscoe, NWA World Heavyweight Champion. And I said, yes, you are. You sure as fuck are. And I was so like,
you don't say.
First guy I meet is Tim. I said, things are looking up. I'm plus one of the match. Now I'm face to face with Jack Briscoe. And
And I said, yes, you are. And I went to tell him my name. And he goes, I went, my name's, and he said, I know who you are. I said, you know who I am? He goes, yeah, I know who you are. You're Bob Remus from Eden Prairie, Minnesota. I said, huh? What? And he took his fingers like a gun and shot it at me. You know, your
were you hurt?
Thumb. Yeah. I sold it for him. And so, I said, how do you know who I am? He said, anybody beat up Billy Robinson, I got to know who they are. And I said, oh, and that's how fast that got around. I went, what the hell? How would he know that? And because I had a little run-in with Billy Robinson before I even got into the training camp, which is a whole nother part of the encyclopedia. The other volume of the Sergeant Slaughter, whatever it's going to be called. Anyway, I'm going to let you go.
All right.
My wife is probably wondering, what the hell is he doing there?
No, that's fine. If you ever want to talk, you got my number. Just you can give me a call anytime.
Yeah.
We'll shoot the shit. You know, I like hearing these stories.
Okay. All right.
All right. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on.
No problem.
Thanks for working me into the second round.
No problem. Now you drop down and give me 10.
You're still a maggot.
Ah. All right. I appreciate it, sir.
But I'll tell you what. I, Sergeant Slaughter, am dismissed.
Have a good night.
Yo, Joe.
Good night. Jesus Christ, finally. All right. That was Sergeant Slaughter from WWE Wrestling. He finally let us go off the phone. I should have started the please release me from last week's show.
Sheep shit, D. White. You're the luckiest mother I've ever met, brother. You have just, like, made a whole book for this man. Dude, this is so impressive. I don't even follow wrestling. I'm stuck in my seat. This was a great show.
I used to watch a little bit back in the day. I've seen him wrestle a little bit, but I never really followed it. I'm what you would be a casual watcher, is what I would be called. But man, that was, I think he stayed on at least an hour.
Profound.
I think he was on for at least an hour.
At least.
Yep. He was on.
Amazing.
He still didn't finish.
Great job. He played the angle perfect.
Yeah, he still didn't finish his other two Mount Rushmore wrestlers though.
Oh yeah, see, we can give us a lead back to call back in the future.
He can call me back if he wants. I gave him permission. Like
exactly.
He wound down. He was just like, my fucking wife probably wondered what's going on. Let's. And yeah. The funny thing was the fucking throne alerts going down the line, because people on Skype could hear it, so you knew he could hear it. So exactly. He gave no fucks. He's like, that's Vince McMahon Senior right there. That's
right.
It. He's fucking trying
talking
to communicate
about
with me.
Spiritual occurrences and stuff. It just kept the conversation going. So thank all you guys trying to bust him out. It was beautiful.
Yeah, I was trying to get to as many questions people were dropping, like legit questions as there was. And yeah, you could all obviously see I could only get a word in like about every 15 minutes.
Exactly.
He was on a roll and would talk all night.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's talking about thanks for having me on. I didn't tell him I was on anything. I just told him that I was arguing with someone on the forums and we were just wondering something.
Yeah. He may have figured it out, but long as he played along, hell, we're his buddy. We could link him up later to his interview.
Yeah, maybe, I don't know, tag him. He did talk about, he's like, am I getting paid for this? But he kind of chuckled. I got no money to be paying guests now. Can't be. I ain't got that kind of money. Let me take you guys back to the mid 90s. You know, actually full 90s, early 2000s. You were watching Nickelodeon. What was one of your favorite shows to watch? All right, good conversation, guys. Wait.
Are you afraid of the dark? I thought you wanted the audience to answer.
Are part of the audience too. God. No, think game shows. game shows, not
oh, game shows. Game show. Okay, so yeah, Double Dare or what was that other one? Didn't Mark Summers have two fucking shows on the network from the 80s through the 90s?
Oh, fancy you should say Mark Summers, because that's who we're calling right the fuck now.
My spidey sense.
We are calling Mark Summers from PSP, Double Dare. Man.
Hello.
Hi, is that Mark?
Yes, who's calling?
Hey, it's Dwight.
Dwight who?
Oh, Dwight McClanahan.
Am I supposed to know who you are?
Yeah. I was calling to talk to you about the time that I was on Double Dare when you were hosting, and I suffered a traumatic experience.
Yeah.
That was it. Well, that's confirmed Mark Summers' number. he was out partying somewhere. I don't think we were going to get much out of him.
Hi, this is the answering machine of Jill Lundquist and Doug Bodd. Please leave a message.
Hello, Doug. Hello, please. Calling from Spectrum about your issues. Hello, Doug. Doug. Hello, Doug. 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 Douglas. Doug. Hello, Doug. Doug. Hello, Doug. All right, Doug, call me back. We'll talk about it.
Hello.
Hi, is Steven available?
No.
Oh, all right. You know what? I'm not done with her. I don't know what her problem is, but I'm not done with that.
Hello.
Hi, do you want to apologize for that little attitude that you just had with me?
This isn't Steven.
I know, you could have said, no, Steven's not available. Instead, you had your little menstrual fit, and then you said no to me like that.
Who the hell is this?
My name is Dwight. I work down here at Farley's. I'm the manager, and I'm trying to reach Steven about his little attitude problem that he had on social media calling my bartender a bitch.
I live in Texas. I don't know a person named Steven. I am not related to that situation at all.
Okay, are you sure? Because you sound like you could have been involved.
I literally live in Texas. I have no clue who Steven is. This is a Los Angeles number.
It's my cell phone. It's my cell phone. I moved here into Texas from LA.
I'm not at a bar. I have nothing to do with
Do you come down
it.
To Farley's at all? You ever been to our restaurant?
No.
How'd you know it was a bar?
You just said it was a bar.
No, I said it was a restaurant. You said it was a bar. So, ma'am, let's cut the shit, and why don't you just Damn, she hung up right as I was going to get to the meat and potatoes of it.
Hey, this is Tawanda.
Tawanda?
I'll get to you as soon as I can. Thank you.
At the tone, please record your message.
Or call back.
When you have finished recording, you may hang up or press 1 for more options.
Tawanda, listen. I found it. Call me back. I found it.
Hello?
Hey, is that Tawanda?
Yeah.
Hey, listen, I found it.
Found what?
I found it. Like, listen, I'm going to put it on your front porch. But you got to find out what you're going to do with it, because I don't want nothing to do with the disposal.
What is it?
Listen. just stay away from the front porch for like the next like 15, 20 minutes. I'm going to put it on the front porch, and then whatever you do with it after, that's fine with me.
I'm already in bed.
Oh, good. And I see I hear your short a 9-volt battery too. I'm just going to put it on the front porch, all right? You can go get it whenever you're ready. No hurry, but I wouldn't let somebody else see it.
You're making no sense.
Okay, that's fine. Like, I'm trying to use code. Because people are listening on these phone lines, these cellular phones, the signals. But listen, I'm gonna put it on the front doorstep, and I'm going to leave, and then you do the next step. You get rid of it.
Get rid of what?
I'm just going to say it.
Okay. What is it?
It's it. I'm just saying don't let nobody else see it. Just listen,
place?
don't be dumb. Don't go put it into a trash can where the garbage man is going to find it. She hung up. What about go to sleep? Yeah, she's going to die in a fire. You hear that smoke detector battery? There was two chirps within the 30 seconds we were on the phone. Like that's dire. That's been on at least 6 months.
Hello.
I'm calling about the room 725.
Correct.
Oh, great. Still available is what I'm inquiring about.
Still available. We're taking applications. How many people did you want it for?
Just myself. I don't have any, I don't have any kids. I don't have any pets. No girlfriend to speak of. You know, I'm just kind of a lone wolf looking for a place to lay his head.
Okay. Are you familiar with El Sereno area?
Yeah, I am actually.
Oh, perfect. Okay. What? Where are you living now currently?
Currently, I'm in between places to stay. I'm just kind of bouncing around from different friends' places under their couches and whatnot. They have an issue with my my offender criminal activity of the computer variety. I did a lot of hacking that I actually went to jail for. Nothing physical or anything like that. Sorry. Excuse me. I'm on the toilet right now and I have hemorrhoids. But I didn't have any. I don't have any issues. Like I said, from a physical variety, I was actually convicted of hacking. I'm just looking for a new location with a fresh IP address that I'm able to use. You have Wi-Fi, correct?
We do, yes.
Okay, great. Because I had to move from my last...
What is your name?
My name's Dwight.
Dwight.
And I moved from my last location. You might have heard about the MGM was recently hacked. I got to leave that IP behind. I need a new one. So just looking for a new place.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Then let's see. I'll tell you a little bit about the space. It's 4 bedrooms, 1 person per bedroom. We have 2 males and a female there. So I just want to make sure I understand. You're currently not staying at any one place, so you haven't been in this wherever you're at for more than a few weeks or what is it, a few days?
Because I just came into the state about 6 months ago, but I'd never established a legal residence is what I'm trying to say. I've actually been looking for to establish myself here. So whether it's been staying at a friend's house, at their college for like a week, I've stayed at a couple hotels, but not motels, because no matter how desperate I get, I'll never stay in a motel. I don't want outside entrances. I don't want people looking at me and stuff like that. I always have to have a private indoor entrance.
Okay. All right, Dwight. You know what? I'm taking applications right now. I'm actually trying to finalize one of those. Give me a call, or I can call you back if it doesn't finalize.
Yeah, that's
this
fine.
Week. It should be. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, this is a great number for you to get back at me.
Let me
ask you: do you have the internet? Is that DSL cable? Do you have phone lines in the house?
It's just Spectrum. That's all. Just regular.
No. I'm fine. I was never diagnosed on anything. I'm not on the Spectrum.
Oh no! I'm saying. That's our internet provider, Spectrum.
Oh, okay, all right. Okay, yeah. I didn't know there was anything out there other than AT&T and Xfinity.
Oh, yeah, no, out here it's at Spectrum. Question, how do you know the El Sereno area if you're coming from out of state?
Well, I'm more of a transient. I like to see the areas that I'm actually considering settling down. So I've actually been exploring a little bit of the area.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, okay. I have a bike. I've got one of these electric bikes, which, sure. I mean, they're fantastic, except when you don't have an opportunity to plug in. I've actually tried to plug in down at the bus station a few times, a little bus depot.
Right.
And they don't look upon that too friendly, to tell you.
They don't like that, yeah.
Yeah, I'm just like, hey, you know, like, why? Right. And, you know, I'm like, I thought it was, you know, kind of a, you know, like a friendly biking area. I just didn't get it.
It's not, right? It is.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I'm like, oh, my God, you know, like that.
Yeah. So let's do that, Dwight. Let me see. Like I said, I'm close to finalizing one of those applications. If it doesn't go through, then I'll reach out to you probably sometime next week.
Okay. Is there like a specific time frame that you're looking for the finalization process? That way, if I don't hear from you, I'll know. I'll be like, it must have went through.
Yeah. Well, if you don't hear from me by Monday or Tuesday, then that means that it probably went through.
Okay. And can I ask you, does Spectrum throttle you at night by any chance when you're trying to?
What does that mean?
Like, they slow down your internet.
I mean, it can be slowed down depending on what people are doing on it. Ours is very basic, so
right.
If you have somebody who's downloading or streaming, that can definitely slow you down.
Right, and yeah, I understand that, but sometimes the companies will throttle you on their own. I'm just wondering because I do have a bank of 35 computers that I will be bringing with me.
Oh yeah, no, we definitely would not be able to accommodate
Well, I'm not going to bring a bed or anything. It's going to be fine. What is the electric bill split? Is that a like even split?
No. Well, the rent includes utilities, so you wouldn't have to worry about that.
Great. What about water as well?
Yeah, utilities including water, gas, trash, all that.
Well, I plug in my computers and I mine Bitcoin all day. So those will be running at full capacity all day. And then I also go and recycle plastic containers and then with water. And then I go to sporting events and I fill them up and I sell them.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay, Dwight, so let's do that. Again, if you don't hear back from me either Monday or Tuesday, that means that application went through.
Okay. I talked to Mr. Clay, and he said if I don't get off his couch soon, that he's going to sick his cat Callie on me.
Yeah, no, you don't want that. So.
Yeah, I don't want that at all. Yeah.
Right, yeah. No, I'm finalizing this one, so it's looking good. But
did you do the application online at all?
No.
Okay.
I mean, it's not online.
Yeah, I was just wondering if it was possible if I could go online and hack the application and change the information around to my information, then I would have a place to stay.
Well, yeah, no, sorry, Dwight, can't help you there. But that's what we'll do, and good luck to you. If you don't hear back from me, good luck to you.
I have a good feeling, though, that I will hear back from you.
Okay.
I'm gonna go online. I'm gonna do some hacking and get this person fired from their job, and I'm gonna prove my odds a little bit.
No,
you know, anything
let's
to
not
get ahead.
Do that. Yeah, let's not
just
do that,
let
yeah.
just to let you know they're fired. Okay, so that job's not valid anymore. Just to let you know.
All right, good to know. But thanks for calling, Dwight. You have a good night.
No problem. I'm the A1 plus number tenant.
There you go. Okay.
All right.
Have a good night.
All right. Have a good one.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Thanks. You too. Bye.
Such a bullshit ass call.
What a silly. That's a silly.
it really was. And I was getting inspiration from RBCP's YouTube the other day when he was at the hotel. He was pulling phone wires out of the fucking walls.
Civil Creek.
Yes. Hello.
Hello.
I've got it out. I can't find my way back in. Yes.
You who?
Oh, God. I got out. I was in there, and I was asleep. And
what
a young
you
man, he was at what's the window, and he lured me out. He took me out.
He took you out?
He put me on a leash.
Yes. What's
he
your room number?
It's 111. And It's far.
What's your room number?
What is it? Oh, God, it's here. Help.
Hello?
Oh, God. Help.
Help.
I'm free. I smell the autumn air. Oh, God, yes. I see the stars.
Hello?
Yes. Yes, hello. Yes. Oh, God. Yes. Oh, God, yes. Yes, and the birds. And the world is full of life. Yes.
All the communities, how can I help you?
Yes, hello. I've got it out. And there was a man here, and he lured me to the window, and he said he had a puppy dog that he wanted me to see. So I asked him to bring it round in here, and he said, no, you have to come out. So I followed him out.
Who is
it? Yes.
Who is
this? This is Miriam. It's Miriam, dear. Yes, and I told him, well, I can't
Miriam,
come outside. They've got me.
Calm down.
I can't.
Give me.
So, yes, but he's got me handcuffed now to the exhaust of his car, you see. And he's wanted to lose things. Lose terrible things to me. Oh, God.
Who?
Yes.
Where are you?
Oh, God. I'm out here. In the traffic. Yes. And
what are you doing in the traffic?
I'm free.
Where do you live?
Yes.
Where do you live?
Oh, I live here. I'm falling.
Where do you live?
Here.
Oh, my God.
Yes. Oh, God.
Where are you?
I'm outside. And there's been... And they're wearing gloves. And they've got me inside of a bag. Yes.
Where are you?
I'm at the train.
What's your name?
Here. Oh, God.
Where are you? Hello? Hello? Where are you? Are you in the street?
Yes.
Hello? Where are you?
I'm outside.
What town are you in? What town are you in?
Oh, God. They're staring me up here. I see the stars, but I can't read them. Why can't I read the stars? I feel the breeze in my hair. And I just don't care. I'm a virgin in the night. Oh, God. What's this then?
Yeah, this is Gil. You left me an interesting voicemail message. Who's this?
Hey, it's Dwayne. How you doing there, you little fish?
Dwayne, good. How are you?
Not bad. Calling about the room you got to rent.
Oh. Well, that was a strange message that you left for me.
I just finished watching What About Bob, and the fish's name was Gil that he had.
Oh. That was really, really strange.
Well, I tried to set myself, separate from everybody else that might be trying to rent the room. I'm not the same old renter. I'm kind of unique, kind of quirky.
Gotcha. Well, it is available. I can tell you the other room. I just rented the other room, and the gentleman is he actually moved in today, and he's moving in the balance of today. So he also took half the garage, so the other room is still available, and we can certainly talk and meet, and if you want to take a look at it, that would be great.
Yeah, that'd be fun. When could I meet up with you and peruse around a little bit?
Sure. How about sometime tomorrow morning? Are you available tomorrow morning?
I'm going to need like 3 days because I'm high on ketamine right now.
You're high on ketamine?
Yeah, and it takes a little bit for it to wear off. I don't feel safe driving while on ketamine.
Well, I got to tell you, Dwayne, I've never heard of someone being high on ketamine before. Yeah. What is that?
It's this isn't human grade. It's super strong, and I'm actually currently stuck in what's referred to as a K-hole. It's a veterinarian drug. It's meant for sedation, for like animals that are about to receive surgery. So I took some, because I actually hurt my back the other day. I'm actually involved in this ring right now where I go out and I commit insurance fraud with cars. I drive people's cars and I let people rear end me and then I fake injuries for money.
Okay. Well, Dwayne, I appreciate the phone call because it is quite funny, but no, I'm not going to rent my room to you. I'm sorry, man. You're too wild for me, man.
I don't bring ketamine into the house. It's strictly an outside thing.
Dwayne, I appreciate it. I think you got a great sense of humor, but that's too wild for me, man.
Do you have a car?
Yeah. Anyways, hey, listen, Dwayne, you have a good night. I appreciate your humor, but you have a good night.
All right, take care. Have a good one. Bye, Gil.